You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Force Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And hello, Devin.
Howdy.
How are you both on this fine Friday morning?
Keeping it together.
That's a start.
I am I'm better than some.
And worse than others?
And worse than others.
Okay,
I am
fair.
I am better than the Cavs, and I am worse than Golden State.
Wow.
That's where I'm at. But I don't know, are we talking finals?
We will talk finals, but
we need to, but let's start with some Jazz talk, right?
Yeah, we'll get there because we've got some Jazz talk. Believe the NBA Players Association voted on their season awards. And John, I think that's our first topic of the morning.
Yes. Players Association gives out their awards. They gave some awards like MVP to James Harden, Most Respected Award, which they give to a veteran, that went to Vince Carter, Mr. Clutch, that went to Damian Lillard, but the Best Rookie Award they gave to Donovan Mitchell. The Best Defender Award they gave to Rudy Gobert. They were also asked to give a Backbone Award for the best team leader on all 30 teams, and for the Jazz, Jay Crowder won.
Wow. Wow.
So a lot of love spread. Yeah, the Jay one, I took pause that they picked Jay, but then you just think about how miserable he was in Cleveland, how thrilled he was to show up here, and how he became our Iguodala, really. He was the sixth man who was put in our best lineup, and it all makes sense.
Well, yeah, and his pickup was timely in the fact that we had lost Seth Alosha, who I feel like Seth and Crowder are both one in the same, if you will. They both offer that same veteran leadership, that same quality off the bench that sparks the team, that same defensive edge, that same... they're just there as a six man.
Scoring.
Huh?
Yeah. Inconsistent scoring.
Yeah, that too. Well, I wasn't going there, but okay, if you wanted to bring that up. Hey, Jay got us a 30-point, was it 25 or 30-point game in the playoffs? He had a big game.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, most of the time he was great.
Yeah. Devin, go ahead. I know you have
something. He had that game with like six or seven threes, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. He was on fire. Ended up with 25, 28, 29. I can't remember. Somewhere around there, points in the game. NBA Players Association. We're still about 2 weeks away from the actual NBA awards, which can't wait to see that. And I think Defensive Player of the Year, I think, is already a foregone conclusion. I think we all know it'll be Rudy. Rookie of the Year, that's debatable still. Somehow I think Spida's not going to win it, but that's debatable. We'll see. So we're still a couple weeks away.
Yeah. It was a 27-point game Crowder had in the playoffs.
See, I knew it was somewhere on there. I knew you were looking it up. So we got that's about it from the Jazz front. They continue workouts. Nothing I've seen on the workout front to get excited, too overly excited about at this point, right?
No, I just saw a rumor. I think it was Tony. If it wasn't, I apologize. But he said that the Jazz are looking to move up if Miles Bridges slips. So that's something to keep an eye on.
So the Jazz apparently have their sights set on a player or two already, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of intriguing options that'll be there at 21, but they're also looking up. I mean, I know they worked out a lot of guys that they felt happy about if they had stayed at 24 or whatever it was.
Right.
But when they're that in love with Mitchell, they did what they could to jump up. And if they are seeing a player that they are equally excited about, then they'll do what they can to move up. And it's cool to see stuff like that.
Is it fair to say, I mean, last year it was, you know, keep your mouth shut or you lose your job when it came to Mitchell. Maybe, I mean, if you hear a player mentioned that they're looking at and moving up in the draft for, maybe I'll be less optimistic about it, because I have a feeling that if there's somebody they really, really want badly, then it might be another one of those don't say anything or you'll lose your job type of situations. So we just won't hear it.
Could be.
I don't know. It was, I mean, last year, Donovan Mitchell was the best kept secret going into the draft, and look at what he's turned into. So I don't know if we're going to get that kind of a gem in the draft again this year, but it would be fun to watch. And draft night is 2 weeks away too. Is it 2 weeks from yesterday?
It's usually around the 28th. I'm not sure this year. I know because that's my birthday, and it feels like at least half the time it's on my birthday.
Well, the 28th is a Thursday night, and it usually is a Thursday night into Friday.
Okay. Just looking for quick confirmation, not seeing anything. But yeah, it's probably going to be the 28th again.
Which I believe the awards are on the 27th, which is a Wednesday, which means we'll have draft night the very next night. So a couple of nights in a row, some Jazz talk to talk about probably. So
yeah.
All right, that's Jazz news. Oh, what?
Let's see, the draft is 13 days, this says, so...
So that is the
21st.
It's a week earlier this year. Yeah. Okay. I'll take it.
Sure.
So wait, it's the 21st?
No. Yeah. 21st.
Well, and what position are the Jazz drafting in?
21st. Hey.
So I have to ask, how do you guys feel about the Jazz potentially drafting Ted Cruz's illegitimate son, Grayson Allen?
Oh, that I did not want to have that in my head. No, I'm liking Grayson Allen. I just don't want to see Ted Cruz when I look at him. Dang it.
You're telling me that you haven't seen that?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't.
Look at a
picture. But now saying that put that in my head and I can see it, and I now I can't unsee it, and curse you.
Which makes you wonder.
It's possible.
If the Jazz and Houston match up, does Ted Cruz come and cheer for which team?
Does he cheer for Houston or does he cheer for his illegitimate son? Who knows?
Wait, is this factual truth?
No.
I didn't think so.
This is hashtag sources on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at a picture, Alan.
Give me a side by side. I want to see it. While he's looking for that, thank you, Devin, for making this show awkward and for really burning an image into John's head that will forever be an issue. And just, oh my goodness. I can never look at that kid the same again.
Just pulled it up and dang it, it's right there. Well, hey, Mike Lee will go to more Jazz games if they draft Grayson.
It's weird, isn't it?
And suddenly we're getting political. Yes, we are. Here we go. All right. Can we move on?
You didn't answer the question. Do you like him?
I don't know. I don't know much about him. I will say this. I have seen enough people say, please no to that pick. Is there a reason why people don't want him?
His personality.
Yeah, he kind of a punk sometimes in games.
Oh, really?
Necessary, you know, I think he kicked a player when he was on the ground once, tried to make it look like an accident, but it was obvious. Just stuff like that. The thing with Grayson Allen is I always just assumed that he was going to be a second round pick because his shooting is undeniable. They went pretty far in the tournament, and a lot of that is because of him. And his at the combine, he had some great numbers. He was number one of everybody in a couple categories, and I think one of them was a vertical leap, and another one was one of the athletic tests. And that was the first time I thought, well, let's really think about this. And he has been climbing up boards, so you know he could be there at 21, and he could also be the best option at 21. I could see it happening.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, if he's that good of a shooter, I would say let's go for it. That said, if there's a concern in any way, shape, or form that he becomes a head case or an issue, then I don't know if I want him.
Yeah, I believe in the staff that they'll be able to get down to that with interviews and such, make sure they're not drafting the next Kirk Snyder or something.
Right.
So,
is he what position does he play again?
Shooting guard.
Shooting guard. Okay.
Yeah, he's like 6'4 with a 6'6 wingspan, something like that. He's a shooting guard.
Okay.
And he could be one of the best shooters in this draft. That's the thing. It's just everything else that he brings.
Right.
Is why he is down there. Well, Devin, and he's a senior. There's a concern when seniors get drafted that maybe they look better because they're playing against younger competition the last year or two in the NCAA.
Right. Well, Devin, you asked the question, so why don't you answer your own question? Yes or no?
I don't know. I have a hard time picturing Ted Cruz in a Jazz uniform. It makes me uncomfortable.
You went back to Ted Cruz again.
I am not letting go of that. Why don't I want him on a Jazz team? Because it's just kind of weird.
Okay, fine.
Because Ted Cruz reminds me of the guy on that that old black and white Halloween show.
The Munsters? He looks like Grandpa Munster.
Yes, right, right. Yes, so
we've got three generations here.
So we're having grandson Munster play on the Jazz.
Right, right. That's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, God.
Eddie Munster.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I am one of those guys who admittedly does not really care about the draft until we get to the draft.
Same.
And so I don't follow. I mean, some of these guys, I think of Mark Wallen on Twitter. I mean, he just eats this stuff for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yes, he does.
All day. And for people who want information on it, you know, guys like him are needed. But I don't know until we get to the point and I'm looking at who we have. And, you know, it's like once the number's there and I'm like, okay, the Jazz pick two picks from now. These are the top five guys on the board. Who do I want out of those top five?
Right.
You know, a few years ago, yeah, I was more interested when we were picking like number three.
Right.
You know, when we had the pick that turned into Dante, I was doing my research then because you're one of the first ones up. But at 21, there's way too many variables for me to get into it and study it. So I'll trust the experts and hope that the Jazz front office knows what they're doing. And historically speaking, I'm pretty sure they do.
Track record says so.
You know, I think about this though, when I think about the draft, do you ever think about the players that you draft and former players from that school impacting how you perceive someone being drafted? Example, Jazz draft Enes Kanter.
Okay.
Out of
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Jazz draft Trey Lyles out of
Kentucky.
And part of me was like, is Trey going to be like Kanter was? Is it going to end the same way? And it did.
Okay.
Jazz draft a senior who last played for Duke.
Right.
Grayson Allen is a senior who played for
Duke.
Is it going to end the way that Rodney Hood ended?
Trading him for a better player?
Yeah, we should totally draft him. We should definitely draft him.
Well played. Well played.
No, you just, I don't know. Do you guys think about that? The context of a university?
Yeah, I do. The thing is, the Kanter trade ultimately resulted in getting a pick that they turned into Ricky Rubio. The Lyles trade turned into Donovan Mitchell. The Hood trade turned into Jay Crowder. So even if the one they draft themselves doesn't seem to work out, they seem to have a pretty good track record of turning it into something better anyway.
Right.
But why wouldn't you just skip a few steps? I mean, don't go through the process and just go draft the best player from Louisville.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to think who would be the best Louisville player this year. I don't think there is one standout this year.
I don't know.
I guess
Devin's looking it up right now.
they're big man, but I think he's, if anything, he's a second rounder. In fact, I'm pulling up NBA draft. net. And yeah, I see Spalding. Hey, this has the Jazz taking Spalding in the second round. That's funny.
And who's Let's Spalding?
He's a big man from Louisville.
Whoa.
Mitchell teammate.
I know what's going on. This is just coincidence.
By the way, might I take a moment?
Me and DL don't talk.
Might I take a moment to say what I know John's already thinking? Curse you for being gone, Draft Express. Curse you. Anyway.
Yes. I'm going to do a draft preview next week, since next week will be the last show before the draft.
Okay.
There's been a lot of other sites that have been stepping up in the wake of Draft Express disappearing and only being a shell of itself going to ESPN.
Okay.
I'll be able to talk more intelligently next week, but I've been going to these different sites and just kind of prepping myself for the draft differently. I love the draft. I mean, now I'm at the point where I love the draft even when they're in the 20s, because you just never know if you're going to have someone like Rodney Hood, who I thought was going to go 14 to 16, fall all the way to 23.
Right.
Or have something like Donovan Mitchell, who early in the draft process was in the 20s, was the guy I thought the Jazz could get, and just watched him skyrocket up the boards and just being thrilled that the Jazz were able to move up to grab him anyway. I mean, stuff like that happens. And there's been times like even the trade Lyles won, where I remember I was at the party in the was it the Viv back then, or was it the Delta Center? I can't remember.
Energy Solutions.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to get Devin Booker. And then we got the word about a minute before they announced it in the arena that it was going to be Trey Lyles. And I remember telling everyone around me, is like, you're going to want to boo, but don't boo. And then they Bear launches the confetti and everyone's like, boo.
And they've never lived that down since.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It all worked out.
Yeah, it did.
I'd rather Booker.
All right. Okay. So that's it for. So we again next week, we'll talk draft, and we'll also talk end of finals next week, because I think we'll have plenty of finals to cover, because it'll be over probably by then. So we'll talk that next week. In the meantime, that's it for Jazz news. Let's move on to the NBA and talk NBA finals.
Yeah, the Cavs have no shot. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sweep. I said Warriors in five last week. After seeing what happened in game three, I don't see how they bounce back for game four, even if LeBron puts up 44 points. The Warriors are just too good. They just have too many options, and the Cavs just have to play perfectly. And Ty Lue broke down and finally played Hood some meaningful minutes. And here's the thing with Hood. Yeah, he scored 15 points and he looked great, but he blew a few defensive assignments in a row and wound up being a minus 12.
Right.
So was it really a good move? I mean, I don't know. I had the worst plus minus on the team. And that's the thing with Rodney, is his offense can be incredible sometimes, but when you looked at the like the TPA charts that NBA Math puts out, Rodney Hood came out statistically as our worst defender.
Right.
So the offense he gives you is great if it's there, and if it's not there, then he really, really hurts you defensively.
And can I take a minute, and I know we do this a lot on the show anyway, but can we all just, like, anybody out there, can we all just stop with the LeBron's just not good enough? I swear I hear it still. The LeBron's just not good enough to beat the Warriors thing. It has nothing to do with LeBron, people. In fact, I bring this up because I saw an interview with George Hill yesterday, I think, at Shoot Around. Did you see that interview?
No.
Where they asked George Hill, they said something about, is LeBron making his teammates better, including him and all of this? And George just went off. George went off. He goes, and I can't remember the context. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he told people, but the media, whoever, he says, just knock it off. He goes, how dare you even say, is LeBron making his teammates better? He goes, he puts us in positions to score. He gets us the ball. He gets us opportunities. He is the best player on the floor. And it strikes me so much to hear people still continually jump on the hate train for LeBron through this finals. It's like, let's appreciate what we're watching here. Golden State is historically good. They have been for 4 years. But that doesn't take away from the fact that LeBron James is historically good as well. One of the top players in NBA history. And yet people want to dump on him. And I don't get that. John, have you seen some of that a little bit?
I think really LeBron is making the rings argument stupid.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of people go, oh, Kobe must be the best player ever because he got 5 rings. You know, well, Bill Russell has 8, so is he the best player ever? Right. Michael Jordan only has 6, Bill Russell has more. And on and on and on. But this is really showing that LeBron, I think, you know, I think he passes Jordan. I think LeBron's the best player ever.
I think so too.
And finals record is one thing, but the other thing is he got to the finals 8 years in a row. He's been to the finals 9 times in his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's more teams he's playing against now than ever in NBA history. His teammates have been wildly fluctuating. His numbers are great. I mean, the Cavs could get swept, and I wouldn't be mad if it said if they gave the finals MVP to LeBron James because he's just been that good. Yeah. You switch LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and the Warriors won 35 all 4 games.
Yeah. Yeah, easily. It's just, I mean, and the other thing is too, like, compare these two teams, this team and 2007. 2007, we're not afraid to continually bring this up. Boobie Gibson was the second best player on the team, and Z, right? You had those two guys were LeBron's company, right? Is this team any better than that 2007 team?
No, not really. I mean, he has Kevin Love.
Right.
And then who's the third best player? I really don't know.
It's Korver.
Korver's got to be Korver. The guy. I would think so, right?
Yeah. You're 37-year-old, 38-year-old. I mean, he's up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just might be.
Well, and
oh, in fact, going back to that team, do you know who the second leading scorer was on that Cavs team in 2007?
Who?
Larry Hughes.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you know, he had to do a lot to get him there.
And let's not forget that they had Sasha Pavlovich on that team too.
Yes, let us not forget.
He played well for him too. Yeah, he did. I'm just it's
is
just,
that in reference?
Okay. What?
Oh, I was just going back and forth with a guy on Sasha Pavlovich, which to this day it bugs me that the Jazz left him exposed in the expansion draft.
Yes.
Way back when.
Yeah.
Because I knew it at the time. I was angry at the time. Because they protected Jaren Collins and exposed Pavlovich. And I said Jaren is not going to go in the expansion draft, but Pavlovich will just because he's young. And they flipped him. So Charlotte drafted him, immediately flipped him for a future first-round pick. That first-round pick wound up being Jared Dudley.
Right.
Pretty decent player. And yep. So they lost their first-round player for nothing when they could have just flipped him for a player that had more longevity. Anyway. Yeah. So this year, you have LeBron, you have Kevin Love, who's arguably better than Larry Hughes, and then they had Big Z. I mean, Big Z was he was at least getting you 8 rebounds a night.
But Big
Drew Gooden could get you 8 rebounds a night.
But Big Z might be your Tristan Thompson, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, really, when you look at it, let's compare Warriors to Cavs. Okay, LeBron is a little bit better than Durant because Durant is arguably the second best player in the league. Next, Kevin Love versus Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a better player. Next, your third best player on the Warriors is who? Klay Thompson. Who's the third best on Cavs? Kyle Korver. Easy. Fourth, Warriors have Draymond Green. Who's the fourth best player on the Cavs? Is it Jeff Green? Is it J.R. Smith? I mean, right. Tristan Thompson? There are just no contests here.
And to be fair, Jeff Green's been pretty decent for them during this playoff run. I said hold on, Devin, I'll come to you. But I said last week, and I'll say it again, I feel like that this Cavs team could be better if they would get more consistency from George Hill. George Hill said that in that same interview. He said, look, I've played like, and they bleeped it out. He says, I've played like crap in this finals and in this last game. And he knows it. And I think if George Hill were better, if George Hill were playing at a great level or a good level in this series, I think things would be just a little different too. He's no Kyrie Irving by any stretch of the imagination, but he still could be a lot better than he is. Go ahead, yeah. Devin.
Well, just to go back to what John was saying, you know, when you compare them one-to-one, the differences get even more staggering if you actually go in the proper order.
Okay.
If you go, LeBron is still quite a bit better than the Warriors' best player, Clay, Corey, Matthews, Thompson.
Whoa.
Then you have KD against Love.
KD is the best player on the Warriors. I don't even know why you're talking about Corey.
And,
yeah.
No. And then you've got Steph Curry against Korver. You've got shooter on a shooter. I'm just saying.
Listen to you. Listen to you. Oh, Sean, I know you're listening. I'm sorry for Devin's comments right now. I know you're going to have to let him have it at the next B-ball night.
The fact is that you guys are all going to come around in a few years when Klay Thompson is in a Jazz jersey, okay?
Kevin Durant's still best player on the Warriors team. End of story.
When you've got Donovan and Klay in the backcourt, we'll talk.
Kevin Durant is still the best player on the Warriors.
KD did have himself a game, didn't he?
Game winner again. Did you guys see the video comparisons? Last year's game three versus this year's game three? He hit a game three shot almost the same exact spot as he did last year against the Cavs.
I didn't see that.
Somebody tweeted it out. I wish I could find it. Side-by-side video of the game winners in games three for Kevin Durant. Did you see that, John?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. I wish I could find it. I really do.
See, I didn't see that, but I did see the Kevin Love screaming face at Steph Curry side-by-side. Did you guys see that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody will be talking about LeBron James' pass to himself and dunk, too. That was sick.
You're not supposed to be able to do that at age 39 or however old LeBron is.
In a finals game.
In a finals game, right?
You imagine like 10 years from now, we're like, you're not supposed to be able to do that at 43, LeBron.
But see, John makes a good point. You're only supposed to be able to do that in February. You're not supposed to, you know, All-Star weekend. You're not supposed to be able to do that in a finals game. I'm just saying this finals has been great. It's likely going to end in a sweep. I would like to see LeBron get one and take it back to Cleveland for one more, or back to Golden State for one more. I don't think that's going to happen. And you're right, John, it may end up in a sweep. Only LeBron's second sweep in his entire career in the finals.
Well, it isn't over.
And mind you, the last time he got swept in the finals was when? That same year that we just talked about, 2007 against the Spurs.
Yep.
So
it's not over.
I know.
It's not over. There's still a chance.
And he's still putting up arguably his best or second best stats as a player in his career in the NBA Finals. That's crazy. Averaging near a triple-double. What, 35, almost 40 points a night? He's putting up gaudy numbers. Oh, my gosh. So anything else on the Finals you want to touch on? I mean, Steph Curry is Steph Curry all over again. Game two was some madness from him. That one where he had to beat the shot clock and throws it up, I still look back. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I was just going to say, we tend to get one final sweep about every 10 years.
Yeah, we do.
I was just kind of scrolling through. Yeah, Spurs-Cavs is the last sweep. The one before that was the Rockets against Dwight Howard's Magic. One before that was the Bad Boy Pistons sweeping the Lakers in 89. Just, you know, every 10 years or so we get a sweep.
It's just unfortunate that LeBron's been on the back end of the last two. Or assuming they lose in game four.
Yeah.
Assuming they lose in game four. Devin's still holding out hope. He thinks it goes back to Golden State.
I'm not the only one.
Who is?
University of Goodest Boys.
Okay.
Believes that it could still be an upset.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Colangelo news.
Yes, they concluded their investigation. Colangelo officially resigned. He blamed it all on his wife, and I believe him for the most part. I think his wife just, you know, heard him complaining about things, started burner accounts. I have a hard time believing that he had no idea, but it doesn't really matter. He knew that he couldn't do the job anymore, credibly, and he was out. And why they haven't already hired David Griffin, I don't know. But if Philly wants to get LeBron James, I think that would be the best move. Just get David Griffin. I don't think Griffin has that great a track record when it comes to drafting, but I don't think that matters if he's who's going to get you LeBron James.
I'm not sure LeBron James is the best fit for the Philadelphia 76ers either.
I think he's the best fit anywhere he goes he's LeBron James. Okay. But I agree that he will stunt Ben Simmons if he goes there.
That's where I'm going with that. And Devin, I know you were giving me the weird look, but John went a step further and offered the caveat that I was thinking. Sure, he's the best if they want to win. I don't know if he's the best for Ben Simmons.
If he gets him a ring, he's the best for Ben Simmons.
Right.
Ben Simmons, personal stats, sure.
But I'm back to the point you were making is you know, you're talking about a young player who's growing, who's getting better, and
and that's fine.
I don't know.
But you put the best player arguably ever
in
the locker room with him. You don't think that there's some added value there?
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I understand that, yeah, it's probably going to force him to give up the ball more. You know, he's going to have to make sacrifices.
Like he might have to learn how to shoot a three-point shot?
Yeah, that's never going
to
happen.
But you know he's going to have to learn that because if LeBron's got the ball in his hands, guys have to shoot.
Right, but Simmons can have the ball in his hands and LeBron can play off ball.
Yes, he can.
And if, you know, Simmons can set him up, do you want a LeBron James on the wing? Simmons cuts, dishes out to LeBron, and LeBron's the second guy in the paint?
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. There's no team that wouldn't want LeBron James on their roster.
Right, I'm not disagreeing with that or discounting that.
There are fans that say, no, I wouldn't want him on our team. I see it all the time from Jazz fans.
And oh, yes. You know
what? You're stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to say that too. Any Jazz fan that said they don't want LeBron James on their team is blowing smoke. End of story.
It's just the fact that when you have that kind of talent, you want them on your roster. It's the same with KD. Any drama, anything else, you know,
I'll snake
this or that, you want him on your team.
I'll ask any Jazz fan going into this next year. You have a chance to win a championship. LeBron James plays with Spider Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Do you take LeBron James on your team or no? And if somebody says to me no, I said, then you know what? We're not having this conversation anymore. End of story.
But we see the argument. We do this with LeBron James. We did the same thing, or you see the same thing with Gordon Hayward.
Right.
You know, we're glad Gordon Hayward went to Boston because it would have impacted Donovan Mitchell's growth. Is there some truth to that?
Yes.
But if you can add an all-star talent and you have a young talent, your young talent is still going to develop.
Right.
There's no argument about that, right? John, right. Am I wrong?
No.
So,
I mean, ask any NBA owner, would you rather have a championship or development?
Right. I think that's pretty much a go for championship.
And I would think ask any NBA player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want your stats or do you want time for development or do you want a ring?
Right.
Because if you ask Simmons, does he want a ring next year or does he want to average more points, rebounds, and assists? I'm pretty sure he's going to take the ring and say, I've got this whole career ahead of me. I'll get mine.
So, John, I'm going to ask you, if LeBron James joins the Philadelphia 76ers, do they beat the Warriors and win a championship?
Who knows?
Are they good enough?
I mean, that's way too up in the air.
Right.
They do have a lot of young players, so they'd want to add some more vets to Philly to put around LeBron. They'd want to see if they could get J.J. Redick back. And man, would he be perfect as a teammate of LeBron.
Yes, he would, but he's gonna ask some money of you, and you may not be able to pay for him.
I don't know. He got paid this year.
And then that's when you go to J.J., do you want a ring?
Right.
Or do you want more money? And
right. The
thing is, most players, yes, they will choose ring over stats. But you say ring over money, there's a lot of players who would rather have the money.
Agreed. Not discounting that one bit.
But like I said, JJ got paid this year. Didn't they offer him like $20
million? Yeah, they needed to use up their cap space. So they're like, okay, we'll give you a one-year $20 million deal. And he's so, like, sweet.
He's like, okay, I got paid. Do you think he comes back and says, I got my money last year. I'll come back, give me a decent salary, and I'll play with LeBron James.
Right.
I would.
I think if they get – the only way I see Redick taking less than he thinks he's worth is if they get LeBron James. If they don't, then he is going to see, okay, what team is going to offer me the most.
Right.
Right.
As he should.
Come to Utah, JJ. Come to Utah.
I don't want him.
Okay, so last but not least, on the head coaching talk still, we talked Colangelo, we talked Griffin in the front offices. Now let's talk coaching. Still a couple teams without a coach.
Yep. It's kind of weird because the draft is coming up and you'd think these teams would ramp it up, but they're not. Toronto still vacant. Detroit still vacant. It looked like Dwayne Casey was circling in on the Detroit job, but I think that was more of Detroit making sure they had all their options open. They're looking at other players and coaches and whatnot. I saw that Sarunas Jakusevicius is on their radar. He, if I remember right, he's from Lithuania, and he had really good showing against the U.S. in the Olympics. And he did come to the NBA for a couple of years, and I thought he would work out better than he did in the NBA, but he has since moved on to become a really good coach in Europe, and that's the latest name I've seen. But yeah, I'm surprised that these two franchises still haven't picked their coach. I would say time's running out unless they're, I don't know what they're doing, waiting for Ty Lue to get fired and grab him. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know why you'd want to do that.
I mean, maybe you're waiting for LeBron to be a free agent. You're like, LeBron will be the coach.
I know what it is.
LeBron, player coach.
I know what it is. The choice not to play Kyle Korver in that particular game was the decision maker. Oh, we totally want that guy. He didn't play Kyle Korver because of matchups. We want him coaching our team.
Yeah, okay. I'd stick with build a freaking wall. No, there's still people out there. What's the head coach from Atlanta? I just totally spaced his name. Isn't he still
former head coach? You talking about Buds? I thought Buds got a job. Budenholzer.
Did he get a job?
Yeah, he's with Milwaukee.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. That's right. Dwayne Casey's still on the table though.
Well, that's what John just said. Yes.
What about David Blatt? I'm surprised Blatt has not gotten another chance in the NBA.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's like he is really good, but his personality just rubs people wrong, and which is funny because it's like, well, they don't. It's like, yes, he will get you a ton of wins, but man, he's kind of a jerk.
Right.
I don't know. I think that's what's holding him back.
Mark Jackson needs a job, right?
He's just a weird guy. Yeah, Mark Jackson. Bring Mark Jackson to Detroit.
Get him off the sidelines and put Doris Burke in his place. Have him coach.
I'd rather absolutely hire Doris Burke as a coach.
No, you're missing the point.
Did you guys catch the interview this week with, I think it was the Low Post? Very good interview.
With who?
Doris Burke.
I did not. Maybe I'll have to go back and look that up.
And we didn't mention previously. Donovan Mitchell was on a podcast.
A couple of post-game shots, didn't he? Didn't he sit with Kevin Love at one point?
He was with Kevin Love. He did one with Stephen A. Smith. Was it First Take that
but
he was on?
But didn't he do something with one of the Golden State Warriors? Wasn't it did he sit with
Draymond?
Steph? Or Draymond, that's right. Draymond.
But you're missing one. Didn't he
Yes.
Didn't he do the Woj podcast?
Yes, he did do a Woj episode.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yes. Yes. And he talked about bringing talent to Utah. I'm going to go out on a limb. We've already said this. Donovan Mitchell, I think he and Rudy can bring people to Utah. And I think he can bring bigger names to Utah. So watch out. There's opportunity on the rise.
LeBron James,
yeah.
LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. LeBron's probably looking around going, you know, the Cavs are 29th in defense.
The Jazz.
There's Rudy Gobert.
Jazz are number one in defense. I could go play with Spider Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And Joe Ingles.
Did Didn't we talk about this last week? Has LeBron had a big man?
No.
Has LeBron had a Rudy Gobert? I don't think so.
Nope, he hasn't. The big man in Miami was Chris Bosh, essentially. Or Haslam, Udonis Haslam.
Yeah, he had Big Z.
And Big Z 12 years ago. Is all he's had otherwise. All right, that's it for NBA news. Moving on, Devin's quick hits.
Greek Freak is becoming an American. Did you guys see the photograph of him enjoying corn dogs for the first time?
I did not.
No.
You didn't see that? I believe he tweeted it out. Let me find a picture real quick. You have to see it. Yeah, he tweeted it out. This was, I think, on like Tuesday.
Oh, yes, indeed. Enjoying a corn dog.
But when you look at this, you have to look at the corn dog relative to his hand.
You mean his thumb? Let's be more specific. The corn dog's the same size as his thumb.
Right. Is that
not
nuts?
Oh, my word, Devin. Dang.
You don't understand how large these human beings are.
Wow.
Until you see a picture of Giannis with a corn dog-sized thumb. I mean, those are like the time. I don't even know, like, the tiny sausage rolls that you get for breakfast at McDonald's or wherever. I guess McDonald's is the flat ones, but that's not a hot dog.
Yeah, that's, man.
Okay, so that's maybe, I think, my thing to watch for this summer is Giannis becoming an American, because he just tried red Kool-Aid for the first time while watching the game. He said it was extremely tasty and said, America stay blessed, hashtag what's next for the freak.
Wait, hold up. While you're on this, did you see this one?
Oh, he tried Funyuns too?
While having Funyuns, my first pedicure in 2 years, I tried my first bag of Funyuns. They were good, but I'll stick to American Cool Ranch Doritos. Hashtag America stay blessed. Hashtag what's next for the freak.
So this is like my summer watch list is what does Giannis do? So if you're not following him on Twitter, now is probably a good time to start doing so.
I'm going to retweet that picture of the corn dog right now because, oh my Lord.
Okay. Trying to find a way to bring this all full circle. We're going to come back and touch on something NBA. But my lifelong team, been with them since the beginning, the Vegas Golden Knights, they didn't get it done.
They didn't get it done. Nope.
And I think that's typical. They have never gotten it done. They have always come so close, but they have never been able to get the Stanley Cup.
And you know this because you've been a lifer.
I have been a lifelong fan. John, are you as upset as I am? Because I feel like you and I share this bond.
I am. I was really pulling for them. I'm sad it didn't work out, but they have a bright future. I'm feeling good about my team.
Are you sure? I mean, maybe next year. This always happens.
But hey, this was the first time that the Caps have won in 40 years.
Yeah, but I mean, you know how hard it is to be a Vegas fan? The Golden Knights have never gotten done. I just feel disappointed. But again, congrats. Like you said, Capital
Playoff. Maybe this time they'll make the adjustments they need to.
Hopefully. Ready for some change. But again, congrats to the DC area. Get that championship rolling in. Nice Stanley Cup. Giannis could probably drink Kool-Aid out of that and it would look like a normal sized cup, let's be honest. we don't talk about this ever, and so we're going to talk about it. WNBA basketball.
Yes.
Diana Taurasi, I hope I said that right, of the Phoenix Mercury, becomes the first WNBA player to reach 8,000 career points. You guys impressed? Should this be getting more attention?
Yeah.
It is impressive.
It is impressive. It is, and I think it probably should get more attention. I mean, you especially you consider how short the seasons are for the WNBA, and it's been around for, what, 20 years?
Roughly, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that is pretty impressive.
So, with this, what do you see for the WNBA? Because a lot of times the WNBA gets a bad rap, gets nothing but jokes online, people making fun of it. As fathers with daughters and men who love basketball, what are your thoughts on the WNBA? Is it going to be sustainable? Will it eventually grow? Or is it just getting to the point where, you know what, phase it out?
Well, I mean, I don't really pay attention to it. I was ready to pay attention to it and be a fan and everything when it started here in Utah. Right. But they were like the worst team for almost every year they were here. And as soon as they left, I'm like, I just don't care. And I just don't really follow it that much beyond what happens to permeate through the fog. And I think it's a worthy league. If it's making money, keep it around. So I like that it's an option. I like that it's an option. And some of these women who, you know, are really great in college and then had nowhere else to go, now they can go there. And when you think about women coaches coming up, getting some exposure in the actual WNBA is only going to help some of them on their career path.
Becky Hammond.
So are you thinking?
Imagine if the WNBA had been around when Doris Burke was. Right. Of an age she could play in it.
Agreed.
So are you thinking...
You know, all-time assist leader in college.
Playing to coaching? Or are you thinking that a WNBA coach that succeeds in that league would have a chance to make the next jump more easily to the NBA, even if it's just as like an assistant coach?
Well, I think they would, but I think Gian's even speaking to the fact that if you've played in the WNBA, again, Becky Hammond played in the WNBA, had experience, has coaching experience, and now look at her. She's an assistant in the NBA and has an opportunity as a head coach coming up. And I'm going to say it again. I hope she does. She deserves an opportunity. But, you know, back to John's point, had the WNBA been around when Doris Burke played, could that have opened up her opportunities even more?
I've seen her handles. She could still play.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm with John on this one. So yeah. To be honest, I don't watch the WNBA that closely. I did when they were in town here. When the Jazz season got over in 97, 98, both those years, I went to a few WNBA games during the summertime when it was the Stars. So I followed it more closely back then than I do now. I'm not an avid fan, but if we had a team here in Salt Lake, I'd go. I'd support.
See, and that's the thing that I wonder is what holds the growth back? Is it the fact that there's only so many teams? You know what I mean?
Or yeah,
is
I don't
it,
know.
Is it the sport? Because I would maybe go to a game or two. I would not be an avid fan, but that's just because I don't even go to a ton of Jazz games, just because of proximity. With that said, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the expansion team, or not expansion team, but the Royals from women's soccer coming to Salt Lake, how successful that will be. You know, I don't know. I'm happy to see a milestone reached in the league. I just wonder what the future holds. I'd like to see it survive. I really would.
Agreed. Got any more quick hits for us?
We got a little more. There's baseball. No one cares. There's football stuff happening. So I guess we should talk about that because there was an event.
Oh, that was this week. Man.
What did I miss? I'm trying to think.
You're talking about, are you referring to the Eagles controversy?
I oh, yes. Oh, oh yes. Oh, yes.
You want to just take it away from there?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Okay. So it's tradition for the Super Bowl champions to have a White House visit. The Eagles tried to set it up, and the first couple dates they gave were ones where Trump was going to be out of the country. And so then they decided to arrange on this other day that would work for them, but they were only going to send about 10 players and some staff. And Trump did not like the idea of such a small showing, so he uninvited them and said that turned it into a celebration of the flag and the military and no kneeling and whatnot. And it basically showed to me that even though the NFL owners caved this year and came up with penalties for players kneeling on the field, that wasn't going to be enough. This is going to be a political issue for as long as the current occupier of the White House is there. And he's also today announced that he would not invite whoever the NBA champion team is. So
that's
your tradition going away.
That, of course, comes on the heels of LeBron James saying the other day that neither the Golden State Warriors nor he and the Cavs would go if invited.
LeBron's comments were part of the fallout from the decision
right.
that was made by the administration. Yeah. So
yep.
What are your thoughts on this? Because as of this morning, there was an interview done. The president was commenting that players shouldn't be kneeling and they shouldn't be in the locker room for the anthem. So I think you're absolutely right.
Wait. But it's okay to not know the words to the anthem when you're supposed to sing it?
Technically, it wasn't the anthem. Technically, it was God Bless America.
Okay, fine. My bad.
But still.
My bad.
You would think that you would do more than just like bob your head to it, given the political atmosphere. But
the political issues going on right now are frustrating and make it very difficult to, one, be on social media because the vitriol is being thrown back and forth. It's ridiculous. But it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate. A couple of years ago, we were talking about this seeping into sports. And sports was my escape. And now it's becoming even harder and harder to even escape into sports. John, would you agree?
Well, I concur with Steve Kerr. We'll all go back to normal in about 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Oh, you know what? No one can seize defeat from the jaws of victory like the Democrats. So maybe I should put an asterisk on that.
Okay, before we make this into a political podcast, let's.
I guess here's where I was going with it. What do we foresee happening? And you've kind of answered this already, John. What do we foresee happening with these sorts of relationships between between politics and sports? You say we're going to go back to normal. I'm not so optimistic.
I have to believe that these things will iron themselves out eventually.
And we'll see. But I feel like the political climate has increasingly become, with social media, more part of our everyday life.
Right.
It's more part of the 24-hour news cycle. It's always out there. Everything can be seen. You know, social media, the Twitter sphere, nothing gets out there or without getting the acknowledgement it deserves, it seems.
Right.
You know, but the thing this morning was, along with the comments of, you know, players shouldn't even be in the locker room, there was also a discussion that I saw taking place that it was acknowledged by the president that he felt that NFL players, rather than protesting, should be suggesting pardons. And I thought, that's such a strange direction for anyone to suggest that athletes go, because the comment has been from some players to shut up and do your job, or not from some players, from some media, shut up and dribble is what I'm thinking of here. Mm-hmm. Do you, doesn't that seem like a weird turn to say, okay, shut up and dribble and don't protest, but suggest people that should be pardoned? I'm like, that's not how this typically works. And that seems to get further into the mud of right. mixing politics and sports.
Yeah, and I agree with Alan in that sports used to be something that we could pretty much distance ourselves from politics in.
Yeah.
That's just one of the nice things about it. And it drives me crazy that it's just going to keep on going, that it's going to keep merging and blending. And I do believe that this will eventually pass. But it's our reality now and will be for a while yet.
I feel like we're in the middle of a reality TV show.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's started to spread. It's gone from NFL to...
Yes.
To the NBA, right. You wonder, you know, will baseball get mixed up in this? What's next? So,
yep,
we'll follow it and see. But that's enough time for quick hits, and let's go back to something a little more lighthearted, shall we?
All right, John, let's move on to pop culture. I believe you had something you wanted to talk about.
The movie I saw this week was Upgrade. It's a low budget movie from Blumhouse Studios. It's got a no name cast. It's starring Logan Marshall Green, who is someone that I know, but very few other people will know. You know, the only thing that comes to mind with him is he was one of the first ones to die in Prometheus. He looks a lot like Tom Hardy, and that's just always my frame of reference. He's a poor man's Tom Hardy. He plays a guy that he gets in this accident that was really on purpose. His wife is killed, and he is paralyzed. And a few months later, he is given a chance for revenge by a scientist friend who's invented this AI chip that he can plug into his spine and make him be able to use his limbs again. And so he's able to do it, and he's able to walk around and move. And the AI also speaks to him in his head. And it started to remind me a lot of the preview for Venom, where there are these two consciousness in the same body, and the guy even looks like Tom Hardy. But anyway, he starts to go down. He starts hunting down his wife's killers with his new abilities, and the action sequences are really cool. It's funny right in the right moments. It's got a horror element to it. It's from the writer director of, I don't think he directed Saw, but the guy that wrote the first Saw movies. He specializes in horror. And so while this is more of a cyberpunk action movie, there are elements of horror, and the ending was really cool too. And it's very fast. It's not quite an hour and a half long, but it's just one of these gritty, low budget cyberpunk movies that you hardly ever get to see anymore. So I liked it.
All right. I was just looking, I recognize him from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Was he in that?
Yeah, I was just looking because he looked familiar, and I looked him up, and he played, trying to think of what he played. I just read what he played in that. You would think he played some, like the Shocker, something Shocker guy, but it said that, and I remember.
He was the first Shocker.
Yes, Shocker number
He's
one.
The first Jackson. Guy that got it, and he got taken out, and then
yeah, Jackson Bryce. But I remember seeing him in there. He has a familiar face, very familiar face. So
yeah, he looks a lot like Tom Hardy. Another movie I liked that hardly anyone saw, but is really good. You can find it on Netflix. Is The Invitation? That's
I've heard
a good
about that
slow
one.
Burn, creepy movie, kind of like Rosemary's Baby, where you're in a social setting and you just feel like stuff's gonna go bad, but the dread just kind of slowly builds. I'd recommend hunting down that one too.
I got you. All right. Well, there you go, folks. That's this week's pop culture. Short, not a lot to talk about. We will have more coming up because there's some movies, some things coming out that hopefully both of us, or at least John, will definitely catch, and we'll talk more about coming up. So, I think that wraps up everything for this week's episode of Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you. And you can find us again anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. You're already listening, so I know you can find us. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, Jedi and Germs. Join the conversation. Watch for John's tweets on the Jedi and Germs account. He just went through a historical run of the Utah Jazz yesterday, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, just a little 20-tweet storm on the history of the NBA.
Yeah, it was quite the tweet storm yesterday. So worth checking out. Join the discussion. Feel free to retweet, share, talk with us about it, about our conversation. If you like something you heard on the show, reach out to us and let's talk about it some more. Thank you for once again for joining us each and every week, for your support. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.